Welcome to a 20-episode miniseries at the Texas Robotics Summit, hosted by our friends at Granite Defense. We dive into the evolving world of drones and robotics in public safety aviation through 20 fantastic conversations with leaders across public safety from the fire service, law enforcement, EMS operations, wildlife management, and more. We explore the challenges, advancements, and the critical role of technology in enhancing emergency services operations. A special thanks to the sponsor of the Smart Firefighting Podcast, WS Darling Company, for making this podcast possible. Enjoy the show. We are rolling here on day two of the summit, sitting next to the CEO of Zephyr Drone Simulator, Kyle Bishop. Kyle, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. How has the Texas Robotics Summit been treating you?
This is a really great event. It's one of our favorites to go to and happy to be a part of it.
So in your words, and you know, you kind of started up a company and building something out of nothing, you know, why is this event in particular, and you know, why is this event important, and what do you like about attending this event?
So this one is just really great because everybody's here to, you know, learn and engage and just be part of growing technology and making the space better for everyone. It's not about just sales. It's not about just, you know, getting in front of people. It's more about like building those connections and really getting involved and making sure that what we're doing actually helps and matters to the people who are going to be using it.
Yeah. Well, and so I had the fortune last night of seeing your product firsthand and saw it was like almost like a little bit of competitive nature going on. But for those of us that don't have the pleasure of maybe knowing about it yet, what is Zephyr Drone Simulator?
So Zephyr is a professional training simulation software for drones. You can kind of think like Microsoft Flight Simulator for drones. And it's really a tool meant for groups to scale at training at scale. And so we've built a lot of things in there, like a learning management system. So when you're flying in the simulation, other people can go and see what your scores were. If you crashed the drone, your total flight time, a lot of different metrics to be able to help people perform faster and better. And also in some cases, just be able to get experience on a drone before handling a really expensive one or, you know, a $40,000 camera or anything like that. You can practice in an environment that is safe, and we can create those risks that you don't really want to create in the field to train on and everything. So yeah, it's a great way to build muscle memory and get experience. But
so you could be doing 1,000 different things with your time and could have created any other company, but why did you create a drone simulation company? Kind of give me the origin story of, you know, how it came to life.
We got started, myself and the other co-founders were actually studying computer game design and with the goals of making video games when we got out of college. I mean, we worked together on a bunch of different projects and decided that we really liked working together. So we kept doing that. And then we found an opportunity in the public safety space with incident command training. So our first product was actually IVIS. It's the Interactive Virtual Incident Simulator, which is kind of like Call of Duty for firefighters, where you're going through an active fire incident with like multiple people and having to manage the fire and smoke physics and how the fire reacts to what you do and don't do. And that eventually led us to the drone industry a couple of years later, where we had some opportunities there to just see what was on the market. You know, at the time there was really no tools out there for learning drones at scale or even like professionally. It was just kind of like for fun software. And so we saw an opportunity for us to take what we had learned in building the incident command simulation and all the data tracking and really making a better training environment for people who were doing drones. That was back in like 2014, 2015. And so we've just been building it since and found that we love being in this industry because, you know, again, people are just wanting to have, you know, positive impact. They're wanting to use technology for beneficial things, not just to, you know, words.
Yeah, no, I'm picking up what you're putting down. And I think ultimately, one thing that you were talking about that came to mind for me was I've worked with virtual reality training for firefighters on the range of different fronts with companies like Flame Systems, like River, and they do awesome stuff with creating different types of content, CGI-based content, you know, photorealistic content, you know, 360 content. And it's a really good way to create content for high-risk, low-frequency scenarios or low-frequency, high-risk type scenarios, whatever it may be, and then being able to train on that and get sets and reps. But there's been somewhat of a reluctance of training saying, hey, this is the way we've always done it, so we're not going to do it differently. Granted, I think drones are a little different because they've just come onto the scene in the past 10, 15 years, even more so in the past like 5, 8 years. But how have you seen any pushback, or how are you kind of communicating this type of simulation training within the whole continuum of training?
Yeah, and there's definitely a mix. Like some of, the old guard kind of against technology or against not doing things with hands-on. So there's been a lot of balance with mitigating that. But most of the time when you get people's hands on the software and they actually experience it and how realistic it is and how much you can learn from just practicing in there, it's easier to convince them than you would expect. But without, with it being so new, creating policies and having the government keep up with how fast the industry is moving, it's a big challenge for them. And they have a small staff, so I definitely don't blame them for any of that. But it's regulations and stuff haven't kept up with how fast the industry is growing. So it's something that we're trying to help with through being able to certify through the software, being able to actually have meaningful training that they can take to the field. With like manned aviation, they have simulated flight time that counts towards their real hours and what can count in their certifications and credentials and everything. So we're trying to help the same things happen with our simulation and making sure that people are able to get those experiences so that when things happen in the field or when they need to handle those things, they're able to do so.
You mentioned the word certify in kind of within the software. Is that something that they get a Zephyr certification, or is a certification based on a NIST or NFPA standard, or what is that?
So right now we offer the APSA BPERP through the software. So it's founded on the NIST Open Lane Test as a foundation, and then it's built upon that. And it's a way for you to have a credential in public safety that matters from not just the software company, but people who actually are in the field. And we're trying to do that with other companies as well. So other organizations that can either create credentials or have credentials that mean something in the industry so that when people are using our software, they're able to either get jobs easier or be able to protect themselves better if legal cases happen or things like that, where they can show that, I've gone through training, I know what I'm doing, either the software messed up or, the drone crashed itself or somebody else did something, like, just giving them another barrier for protecting themselves.
Yeah. And just to, because I was thinking about watching some of the pilots fly the drone simulation last night, I'd love to know a little bit more about kind of like, what does a user experience look like of the software, and what's it cost?
Yeah, so we've tried to keep it really easy to use. We don't limit downloads or anything like that, so you can download and install it on different computers, at home, in an office or station or anything like that. And each user gets a license. So for public safety, you're looking at about $225 per license per year. If you're training people, and say you train 10 people in a 3-month time, you can deactivate those 10 people, add 10 new people for no cost, and train that whole new group. So some groups use it for training currency, like getting on the stick time when you're in a place where weather or flight restrictions are challenging, and just so you have more time on the sticks. And then some other groups use it as those precursors, like I mentioned earlier, but really depends on how you want to use it for your program. But we're trying to be as flexible as we can be to help out. So
yeah, I mean, I saw it last night, and even hearing that pricing model, it seems pretty appealing in terms of how it could be used by small, medium, large departments. Mm-hmm. And I think I made you to fly it myself. I'm not much of a propeller head myself formerly, but I do love, I like being a visual observer. Yeah. I'm good at just watching.
Important role.
Yeah, maybe the most important role. What's next in your product roadmap? I mean, are you, kind of other aspects of software, just kind of keeping up with all different drones? Like, what's next?
It's definitely a struggle to keep up with the industry. Like I mentioned earlier, it's moving crazy fast, and the time it takes to develop something is usually longer than the life cycle in the drone industry. But we're working with the Air Force as well as a bunch of other groups, both in public safety and in the education space, to add new things to the simulation, including new drone models. Like, we're working on the Skydio X10, and we just added the DJI M30. We're adding a bunch of other models. In terms of like the features and function of the software, we're adding things like thermal imaging so that you'll be able to do night operations or search and rescue, clearing houses and things like that. Updating the weather physics so that you'll be able to have more dynamic airflow with the drone depending on what environment you're in, like drafts off of buildings and challenges like that. and a bunch of other things too, like a beyond visual line of sight is going to be really important. You know, some handling the automation of flights and interacting with specific user interfaces from different companies. So we're trying to partner up with a lot of companies like DroneSense and Skydio, like I mentioned, to build out interfaces that you'll need to get used to, and so that you'll have that muscle memory of, you know, I tap here on the screen to make something happen. So those are all things we're really excited about and trying to get into the software just to make a better training experience.
Yeah, I like that phrase you've said a few times now, better training experience. And obviously you can see from a lot of the departments that are here, they're living, breathing proof that they're using your product and like it. So you've done a good job of creating a sticky product. And I think that's a great message, is to build something that people want to use. And it seems like you've done a good job of listening and taking feedback from your end users.
Yeah, we try to. And our motto is better operators through better training. So
write that down. I am writing it down. So kind of to close us out here, I mean, I've been throwing this monkey wrench at everyone on the podcast without prepping them, but kind of any sort of parting thoughts you could leave us with here, whether it's one of your favorite quotes that you live by, or kind of a message you could leave us with, a question, a challenge. Doesn't necessarily have to be robotics related, but any sort of final thoughts or ideas that you might have for us here today.
Speak softly and carry a big stick. I'm just kidding. One of the big challenges we see and we're trying to solve is, you know, how do you train for technology that moves so fast and is also becoming so autonomous? Like, the training is going to completely change in terms of what people have to do and what they have to prepare for. So I guess I would challenge people to think about, you know, what are the new things we're going to have to worry about in the next 5-10 years that companies like ours are going to have to account for to make sure that you guys are ready for it when that time comes. So, and we'd love to talk about those things if anybody wants to or has ideas. So,
well said. Yeah. Well, Kyle, you're doing a great job. It's been fun to learn about you and your company and your co-founders and the product. So all I can say is keep doing what you're doing. Good work. And I look forward to staying in touch.
Thank you. Thank you for your time too.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for tuning in to this mini-series created at the Texas Robotics Summit, hosted by Granite Defense. Make sure to put this amazing event on your calendar for 2025. For this podcast episode, what do you like? What do you think? Drop us a comment on social media and let us know your favorite quote. Thanks for all that you do, and have a great day ahead.